Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried, and you're upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Yeah, as I told the children, this is a story about hospitality, but it's also a story about distraction, isn't it? It's a story about keeping your focus on what you need to be and what you need to do in any given moment. Yes, we have two stories of hospitality this morning. In our Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings, we're told that Elisha often went through Shunem, a little town. In that town, there was a prominent woman who invited him to dinner. And this woman was so generous toward Elisha that she had a room constructed and set aside for him in her home so that he could stay and rest from his travels. Now, to show his appreciation for her hospitality, Elisha asked his servant what he could do for this woman. The servant informed him that she had no children and her husband was old. So Elisha asked God to give the woman a son, and God granted his wish, his prayer. You remember how she reacted when I read that? She said, "Don't tease me. Don't tell me I'm going to have a son." And God followed through. She had a son. Now, in our New Testament lesson, it tells us that Jesus entered a village and was invited into a home by a woman named Martha. Now, we know from other scripture texts that this was the home of Lazarus, the man that eventually Jesus would raise from the dead, that Mary and Martha were sisters of Lazarus, and they became close friends to Jesus. But in this particular occasion, Luke treats the situation as if Jesus didn't know them very well at this point. Now, we're told that Martha was that dutiful woman who wanted to make sure that the meal was just perfect and the table was set just the way it should be. But then Mary, on the other hand, she sat at Jesus' feet to listen to the lessons that he was teaching. Martha, busy in the kitchen preparing the meal, kept peeking out, wondering, "Where are you, Mary? I need you. I need another pair of hands." And Martha was so distracted by all that was needed to be done for this special guest and all of the responsibility that she felt that she became anxious. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me." But Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha." Whenever Jesus repeats anything, it's for emphasis. Take note of that in the Bible. When Jesus says, "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily, I say to you," he's putting extra emphasis on it. He's saying, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary." Really, only one. "For Mary has chosen the good part, and that shall not be taken away from her." Now, the first thing that strikes me about this story is to be careful, and of course with the Old Testament story as well, be careful when you open your door to a man of God. You might be surprised. The Shunammite woman was certainly surprised. And God's intrusions into our homes are rarely without repercussions. Our theme is baptism today, so I will give you an example of how this happens even today. Even in this simple ceremony that we witnessed a few minutes ago, God is at work. God doesn't mess around. Many years ago, I was approached by a young couple to do a baptism. It was a rather unusual request. They were related to members of the church. They were children of the church that I was serving. They wanted to have their child baptized under the Natural Bridge, in Natural Bridge, Virginia. Well, this was highly unusual, but I consulted with the elders. They thought, well, we can do this for this family. Well, we did. We baptized a baby in the creek, Cedar Creek there, under the Natural Bridge. And the parents subsequently left the church. They moved to a different community. And when they came back to visit the church for a family, I'm not sure if it was a funeral or a wedding or something, they informed me that they were no longer church members and that they did not subscribe to the Christian beliefs and Christian fellowship anymore. In other words, they left the church. And I thought to myself, but you made such a fuss over having your child baptized. Do you know what happened there? Do you fully know that what we do in these circumstances is invite God into the lives of these children, that God claims them as well as they claiming God? They didn't realize that. So fast forward several years. I met the child not too long ago. The parents are still, they claim themselves to be atheists, okay? They're intellectually too proud to be Christians anymore. I think they're following after, the popular culture in the United States right now. But this child, raised in that environment, taught to be an atheist, is coming back to Jesus. The child told me he has an insatiable desire to read the Bible. He said, where does that come from? I told him, you were baptized. You belong in God's household. It's natural that you would want to read, God's word. And I always think of that when I think of the Shunammite woman. When you invite God into your home, when you invite God into your family, it's no small thing. And God takes it seriously. God takes hold of those children. He looks after them. And yes, they may, difficulties may befall them, but they still belong to God. This couple, who thought they were so intellectually superior, taught their child to be intellectually superior, and he's choosing God right now. I did my bit to guide him along the way. He's choosing God. I think it has to do with that baptism, quite honestly. But God gave the Shunammite woman the deep desire of her heart. Now Martha, she could not conceive the possibility that she could sit at Jesus' feet. Martha was a good Jewish woman of first century Palestine. Women did not sit at the feet of rabbis. That was a man's place. Women, good Jewish women, would cook and clean and serve, and that, she felt, was her place. It was Martha who did the inviting. She brought Jesus into her home. The deep desire of her heart was to learn from him and follow him, but because she felt it was her lot in life to play a role, she was willing to forego her deep desire in order to be a good host or hostess. Now, Mary chose the better part. Jesus made that clear. Perhaps Martha had a chance, we're not told by this scripture lesson, perhaps Martha had a chance to realize that, oh, maybe I got my priorities mixed up a little bit here. Jesus was not an ordinary rabbi. He was going up to Jerusalem to change the rules. You know, think about it. Martha was living according to the rules of Jewish society. Jesus was going to turn all that upside down. He was going to turn the priorities upside down, get rid of all the gender issues there, remove the barriers and the petty rules that kept people from a saving relationship with God. He says, really, Martha, Martha, are you worried and distracted by many things? There's only one thing that's needed. One thing. And you can think about that as you're contemplating this sermon today, later on, hopefully you do. What is that one thing? I take it that it's Jesus himself, his very presence. It's not just the teaching that he gave to Mary in those few minutes. It was his very presence. And one of the commentators that I read on this wanted to make a distinction, which I think is really helpful, that when it comes to Jesus, he goes on what we call kairos time in the Bible. It's a Greek word. The kairos time is a fullness of time. You remember in the Bible it often says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. In the fullness of time, he came to realize that he needed to go up to Jerusalem, and there he would be crucified and fulfill his mission in the world. Kairos time is a fullness of time, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life and in your mind to help you recognize kairos moments. You ever been in a kairos moment where everything else, all of the things that you had to do, the grocery list and the chores and all the stuff that you have in your mind that I've got to get done today, kairos time pushes that aside and said, this is important. This is the time when I focus in on what God has presented before me. Kairos time is something that Jesus brought wherever he went. Kairos time is something I hope that you practice in your life as you pray, as you read your Bible. That young man that I baptized that I was talking to you about, I told him a little bit about kairos time, and he liked that idea, and he's starting to spend more time in meditation, and he's not quite there yet, but he's on the way. Praise God for that. But there's a kairos time. Now, we, like Martha, many of us, and most of us, work on chronos time, where you check your watch, and you say, okay, I need to be at work at such and such a time, or I need to be at this meeting or that meeting. I need to go to this doctor's appointment. That's chronos time, where you've got to be somewhere and you've got to function in a certain way. That's what Mary was working on. Mary was working on chronos time. Martha was working on chronos time, pardon me. Martha said, okay, the meal's got to get laid out. The table's got to be set. And yes, Martha was right. In a way, those things have to be done. I don't think we'd want to badmouth Martha here. We need Marthas, don't we? We need them in the church, in our homes. But we also need for Martha to understand that there is kairos time as well as chronos time. Somehow work it out that you can have both. You want to soak up that kairos time, that fullness that Jesus brings to every moment, and demonstrate that fullness in our lives. Yes, there are times to be the Martha, to set yourself on chronos time and get it done, but then also recognize the value and the relative superiority of the kairos time. Both Martha and the Shunammite woman desired to extend their hospitality to a man of God. Both of them had a deep desire that they never dreamed could be fulfilled. But Jesus introduced Martha to the Kairos time. Elisha introduced the Shunammite woman to the very power of God, the Kairos time in her life. So, when we invite God into our lives, into our homes, when we extend our hospitality, you might just get that impossible thing that is the desire of your heart. The book of Hebrews says that sometimes we might entertain angels without even knowing it. That's when we're knee-deep in Kairos time. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you warned us. You warned us to keep an eye on the times, on how the time is passing and where the time is going and where it's coming from. Help us to look for that Kairos time and to recognize that and to commune with you and to be blessed by you in that time. Help us to set aside time for Kairos in our lives. We pray this all in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.